What's happening, everybody? This is Roy from The Fit, and you are watching CMS TV.
Chris Aiken Presents, and I, of course, am Chris Aiken, and today on the show, we are going to introduce you to a band that, from everything I've read, is not new, but is probably new to you. The band is called Generation Landmine. They have a release called Ruling the Street Scene, and here to talk all about it is the singer of the band, Mr. Anthony White. Anthony, how are you, man?
I'm good. How you doing today?
I'm good, man. It's good to talk to you, man. I will admit that probably like most of the listeners, I was not familiar with your music until, you know, a couple of weeks ago. I like it, though. It's kind of got that, I don't want to say 80s, because then it leads people to thinking that you're Motley Crue-ish, which you're not. I would say it's more early 90s style, more like modern rock meets, if you're looking for an old band to put it to, I would say more like a Saigon Kick-ish sort of a sound, but nice. You know, but my opinion doesn't matter. What matters is your opinion. Yeah. So why don't you tell us who Generation Landslide is?
Yeah, you're pretty close there. It's got elements of 80s and early 90s mixed more with 70s, and I know it kind of gets a little lost in there, but if I explain a few little things here and there, you kind of sit and go, oh, yeah, I can relate to that, or I can get that. But the overall thing, everybody says it's, for the most part, maybe late 80s, early 90s, so, yeah.
Right on. Now, how did you settle into this style of music? Is it just what you naturally write, and your band guys naturally write, or did you say, this is what we want to do, let's craft music to that?
Actually, a lot of this came up through a lot of my history. Okay. I don't know how familiar you are with any of my history. A quick brief introduction is, as a high school, out of high school, I played with Mark Slaughter in Las Vegas with a band called Excursion. Okay. So from moved to California, I ended up meeting Mark Ferrari, who was the guitar player for Keel. He put the band together called Cold Sweat. And then after that, I got together with remnants of two guys from Black and Blue, and me and another, the bass player from Cold Sweat, and formed the first Kiss tribute band. So as history was going on through all those bands, obviously other than the Kiss band, I had a little hand in writing material. Okay. And what happened was, as time went on, I realized that I heard stuff in my head a little bit different than my collaboration or the songs that I'd help write, you know, in those bands. So when it came time to do something that I wanted, I felt, okay, this is how I hear it. This is what I want to do, and this is how I want to sound. And I just tried to go after it. You know, it's as simple as that.
Right on. When you write with guys that have had various levels of success, how do you get your own ideas in there? I would think, and again, this is a non-musician talking, but I would think that you get led by what they've done instead of really pushing your own ideas. How do you get your own sound in there?
There's a little of both, actually. Sometimes it's good to hear other people's, you know, ideas and things, because say, you know, something is derived from one person says, oh, I want to do like an Aerosmith type of song. And then I come in and I say, well, why don't we mix it with, here's an, you know, an odd band like Sweet, you know, and then it you start to mix things and find what kind of sound you're looking for and where you want to really take the different kinds of songs. So then you kind of place different parts and different things. And then you kind of say, well, no, we can't do this because it sounds exactly like Van Halen. So then you kind of, you know, scrumble it up and mix mash, and you end up coming up with your own stuff, is, you know.
Right on. Sure. Now, dude, let's, obviously you knew this, but the name of your band, Generation Landmine, Alice Cooper. Everybody, if you're a rock fan, you know that. You don't sound anything like Alice Cooper. You know, you don't right. vocally. I don't think the music does vocally. How do you avoid people from misconstruing it and then dismissing it because they think Alice Cooper before they ever hear a note?
Well, okay, so a good example of that would be, say, the band Rat. Now, obviously, they got their name from an Aerosmith song called Rats in the Cellar. Mm-hmm. So all I was trying to do was, I'm a huge fan of Alice Cooper, and there's an off song called Generation Landslide. So when you hear it, you think, oh, wow, that's a different kind of name. It's kind of, you know, out there, especially in modern times now. I mean, you know, look at all the generations and all the types of music and the way the world is and everything like that. And so I took that, and I thought it was not, you know, it's not literally taking Billion Dollar Babies. That's one of the most common songs. So
sure. It
was an album track. And then in the lyrics in there, I wanted the concept of what Generation Landslide is. Ruling the street scene, if you listen to some of the lyrics in it, he basically says that in the set of lyrics. And I thought, wow, what a great idea. Generation Landslide, ruling the street scene. And as you could see, the whole concept of the record is us out on the street. The first video we did was us jamming in the streets. Everything is more back to earth instead of all this fancy, flashy, glammy, you know, type of thing. I wanted to strip it back to the old days.
Right on, man. Well, dude, let's talk about ruling the street scene. I'm going to give you what's going to sound like a backhanded comment. It's not meant to be, but it just is. The first time I listened to it, I kind of put it on, and I was doing other stuff, but I just had it on in the headphones. And before I knew it, it was over. And I was like, wow.
Wow.
You know, and that's a good sign, because nothing, you know, nothing like grabbed me and said, oh, this is terrible, turn it off. You know, it's a fun, easy to access record for a music fan. I'm imagining that's sort of what you're going for as a musician, is to make something that people are digging and are going to continue to dig. For you, when you listen back to it, do you hear it the same way, or do you, because you're so close to it, do you listen to it and say, oh, I wish I'd have done this different, or I wish I'd have done that different, or you know, as musicians do?
Of course, there are a couple of little things on the record that I would have changed now. But when I listened to it at first, for a while, it had the flow that I wanted. It starts out with a bang and it ends with a bang. And it takes you through this journey of up and down, not necessarily pop, but hooky stuff, riffy stuff, acoustic stuff. And I wanted more quality, not quantity. So my whole goal was to say, okay, if I had five songs on the first side, how would I do Led Zeppelin? You know, how would I do old Deep Purple? How would I do old Aerosmith? So when you listen to the first side, you go, wow, that was pretty cool. You flip it over and you start over again. So that's pretty much how I set it up and had in mind. So when you go through the first five, next thing you know, you're in the 6-7, and then you get the couple acoustic, and before you know it, you're at the very last song, which is a heavy riffy song, and you go, well, that ended abruptly. Oh, and then it starts all over again, you know.
Right.
So yeah, so it was kind of done up that way, actually.
Right on. Well, dude, tell me about how you guys write. Do you write from a riff, or do you write from a lyrical idea?
Most of the stuff is a riff.
Okay.
There's a couple of instances on that record, like Little Miss Lonely, the very first song, that when I thought of it, I was listening to an old Sammy Hagar song, and in the middle of it, he says that title. And I thought, wow, what a great title for a song. And then I had this idea that I was going to mix Aerosmith, Chiquita with Aerosmith Lightning Strikes. And there it came. And so on and so forth. Like the song on there called Are You Out There? I specifically, that's a tribute to Phil Lynott of Thin Lizzy. And so I literally set out to just go, you know, okay, here's the title I want. Here's the riff I'm going for. And I'm just going to, you know. So most of it comes from riffs, stuff that I'm just banging around on. And if I remember it, I figure it's catchy enough that other people will remember it. So I keep working on it.
Sure. How much collaboration is there with the rest of the band?
On this particular record, fortunately and unfortunately, I did all this myself. Okay. I wrote everything. I tried to have the vision of how it would sound in the studio and how it would relate, you know, to people and everybody else out there. So I pretty much wrote the album myself, kind of put it all together, went in, we recorded it, and then that was it. So I really didn't have any collaboration on any of this. I pulled like a Dave Grohl type of a thing, you know.
Right. Do you anticipate that you will, though, now that you have guys that are with you? And I, you know, I'd imagine they're going to want to participate as you go forward. Do you anticipate, you know, giving up some of that, and will you be comfortable giving up some of that?
Absolutely. Like right now, for the most part, the second record is already written. And there was collaborations with different guys in the band and stuff like that. But once again, I had a little bit of time, you know, to sit and come up with more things. And then I had, you know, when other people had ideas or thoughts or whatever, then I would just sit and go, oh, that could be cool. Oh, that could be cool. But unfortunately, once again, it's mainly all the stuff I'm hearing in my head more than the rest of the guys. But hopefully, you know, as it continues to evolve, I would love to have more collaboration with the rest of the guys in the band, of course.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Anthony, you know this as well as I do. Everybody knows this. In today's world, it is so hard to break a band. Everybody thinks because the internet, it makes it easier. I think it makes it 50 times harder, because anybody that can afford a microphone can be a singer now, instead of having to grind it out. And the other part that I think is a real problem now is, if you don't catch them in 10 seconds, you might lose them forever, which is really sad when you think about how many great bands were missing. Everybody's missing in the mix. So for you, as somebody that's trying to do it and trying to make your mark, how do you approach in today's market? Do you try to just avoid all of it and do your thing and hope that people find it? Or do you have a strategy there, or what do you try to do?
Nope. Pretty much what you just said. I figure, you know, social media does its thing. The band has to play live shows. We've done 3 videos for songs on there, you know, throw it on YouTube, put it on Apple Music. You try, you know, and you just play. You know, we're really starting to do live shows and just word of mouth and spreading it, you know, and maybe it happens and maybe it don't, you know, the old school way. And that's really, you know, I really don't know any other way. I mean, I'm not Justin Bieber, I'm not Britney Spears, where, you know, look at this guy and look at this girl and look at this face and, oh, look, American Idol, this, you know, let's face it, I'm old school and, you know, I grind it. Let's just put it that way.
Well, and to be honest, that other way doesn't always work either. I mean, how, for all the people that we do know from American Idol or The Voice, how many do we not even remember anymore?
Correct. And I also feel that, you know, if you have a solid product, it might take one person at a time, such as yourself. So say, you know, you like it and you have Peter, Paul, and Mary down the street. And out of those 3, you know, maybe one or two more like it. And then, they, you know, it's a long shot, of course. Everybody knows it. But the groundswell, and if you bust your butt and you play and people like the material and like the band and can relate to it, good material, in my mind, is always going to prevail, you know.
So. Absolutely, dude. Well, speaking of good material, man, I wanted to dig into one song, Nighttime Magic, which by far my favorite of the record that I've heard. Tell me about this song and tell me specifically about the lyrical. You've got some pretty intricate, interesting lyrics on this one.
Yeah, so this one, title-wise, came from the Jimi Hendrix song Spanish Castle Magic. So I changed it to Nighttime Magic, and what I did was I had there was an old band called the James Gang.
Oh, yeah.
And
Joe Walsh.
Yeah, so after Joe Walsh, they had Tommy Bolin.
Okay.
And there's an album called James Gang Bang. And on that record, there's a song called Ride the Wind. And I just loved the lick, the riff, the melody, and what the guy was going for. And then I changed the pre-chorus and the chorus and everything. But the whole concept came from that. And then I thought, I need to talk about something different. So I reached back into the Grand Funk Railroad, and I talked about what it would be like if you were out with a streetwalker.
Okay.
So this girl, you know, you don't know anything about her, but all you know is she gives pleasure to men at night. So what is she really like? You know, where does she go? What does she do as she's earning her living? And so it's that whole ball of wax all mixed together.
Right. Right on, man. It is a wild song, and it definitely stood out to me. It's a great tune, man. Well, dude, you mentioned touring. Obviously, today, touring is extremely difficult, and even more than extremely difficult, it's beyond extremely expensive these days. Right. So how does a band starting out do it? Do you just have to play local, or do you market yourself to, hey, we'll go out and open for, you know, whoever, Faster Pussycat or whoever's touring and get on? I mean, how do you get out there?
It's a little of both, really. I mean, we're all pretty much based in Las Vegas. Okay. So within the confines of Las Vegas, there's Utah, there's California, there's Arizona, even as far as Texas. Those are easy, and you basically plan it. You know, you could do a Thursday through a Sunday. You could do a Friday and a Saturday. You could do you try to plan it where you do 2-3 shows or so. You go out, you come back. You know, you go out, you come back. And right. That's really what a lot of bands, I mean, even bands that are still doing it like Great White and Slaughter and all of those other ones, Faster Pussycat, all those, they're trying that. You do weekend things, you know, Thursday through Saturday, give or take. You go in, you do your thing, you come back, you settle back again, you go back out again. So, you know, you take them where you could take them, and just keep trying to push the word around. That's all.
Right on. You know, dude, one of the things, and my co-host on this show is Eric Ferrantinos, who plays guitar for Stephen Piercy. So, you know, we talk a lot about the touring and the pluses and the minuses of touring. And right. One of the things that I've brought up several times is that in our generation, in my generation, I'm 55, and in my generation, if you took one band, pick who it would be, Slayer, Metallica, Motley Crue, whoever, there's 50 other records in my collection that I discovered bands from seeing them open for those bigger bands. That does not seem to happen anymore. It just seems like, and I don't think it's the bands. I think the bands would love to be part of breaking new music and keeping the scene going. I think it's the promoters now. You know, they'd much rather bring in a cover band than bring in a band like yours that does original music. How do you combat that? And do you see that as well?
Absolutely. I do see that as well. And the easy road, you know, for promoters, for bars, for clubs, is the cover band, the tribute band, you know. But there are still some people that are really heavily into original music, which I think is great. Looking back when I was younger and I was touring with Cold Sweat, you know, we went out with a band called Sabotage.
Yeah.
Totally audience we were able to play for. Then we went out with a band called Sleazebees. That is another different type of thing. And then we eventually got on the Dio tour. Now, us being on the Dio tour, you know, just that month, month and a half that we were on it, opened up so many things, you know, from people just, oh my God, I never heard of you guys. Oh my God, cool, 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 you know, and down the line and everything like that. So times are different, times have changed, but at the same time, if we're able to open for Stephen Piercy or any of those bands that are doing weekend things, absolutely, I would love to do that, because once again, it gets the name out there in front of, you know, quite a lot of people that could be potential, you know, fans or whatever you want to call, you know, that like it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, man. And, you know, I think that, and again, this is my own personal thing, but I think so many of the club owners have lost the overall objection or the overall goal of what it's supposed to be, which is to build a scene that sure. can survive. You know, this generation should be looking to the next generation. It's so weird when I look at it now and I'm like, you know, in the 80s or in the 90s, I always looked at the 80s bands and said, okay, well, they gave me these 90s bands and the 90s bands gave me the 2000s bands.
Correct.
Who in the 2000s have we gotten? We haven't gotten anything new. And I mean, nope. The last true breakout bands are what? Korn or Disturbed right. or something. And that's right. 20 years ago now.
You're right. And I think a lot of people, not a lot of people, but a majority of the people gave up, meaning club owners, bar owners, and everything else. It's like, oh man, I don't want to do that. You know, let's just get a cover band. And the next thing you know, you're hearing, you know, Jesse's Girl or Margaritaville, you know, all night long. And, you know, then there's the tributes. You know, everybody is in a tribute band, from Journey to AC/DC to everything under the sun. And it's just an easy way out. And I know all musicians such as myself and everything want to continue to earn a living, you know, and do the best you can. So, you know, in my opinion, the pecking order is, you know, the cover band and then the tribute band and then the original band. But the original is so hard nowadays because everybody gets stifled by the tribute or the cover bands, you know, and it's easy road. And it's just unfortunate. But what, like I said, you know, I do it as well. I've got my hand in, you know, several different things. No tribute bands, but cover bands and, you know, other original bands. So, you know, you got to make a living. And
yeah, well, and that's the unfortunate thing, though, dude, is a lot of times the cover band or the tribute band can make real bank, which, sure. you know, I think that's what stopped it in the old days. In the old days, yeah, you could do a Kiss tribute band, but it cost you a bunch to do it, and it wasn't for good return. Now, right. you know, there's this band, Leonid and Friends, that's out there doing a Chicago tribute, and they're charging $75 a ticket and selling out
sure.
2,000-4,000 seaters. It's like, wait a minute, yeah. Chicago is still touring. You know, right, how is that right. possible?
Yeah, I don't know where your location is, but
Cleveland.
Okay, so you're from Cleveland. Okay, so I lived in Ohio for almost 20 years.
Okay,
yeah, before I came back to Las Vegas about 4 years ago, and it's the same thing there as it is here and stuff. It's just a different type of thing. There's tribute bands and cover bands everywhere, and you know they make money. And I can't deny it. I'm, you know, I'm like outside. I'm not in Las Vegas. I'm in a place called Laughlin, which is like mini Las Vegas, you know, on the Arizona border. And I'm here for 4 days starting tonight in a cover band because good money. And it's, you know, it's, you got to keep going and keep moving. So I can't, you know, knock it per se. I'm just, you know, I like right. the original.
I'm with you, man. Same way, man. Well, dude, tell everybody where they can go to keep up with Generation Landmine and hear music as you guys release it and show dates and all that stuff.
So pretty much the Facebook page, Generation Landslide, and then we have a YouTube page. We have stuff on YouTube, and just anytime you type in that that name or whatever, especially on Facebook, all the information's there. We're doing a pre-party for the M3 Fest in May, the first week of May. We have a show out here in Las Vegas on March 9th. We're looking to continue to just keep playing. So one thing at a time.
Right on, man. Well, dude, the band is Generation Landslide. Ruling the Street Scene is the album. And Anthony, thanks so much for joining me here on Chris Aiken Presents.
I do appreciate it, Chris. Thank you so much.